Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Unbranded. This show is a show where we explore the entire idea of unpacking your brain and brand behavior, exploring the depths and links between human and brand behavior. Unless you've been on the rock for the last few days, you know that Beyonce has taught us that if you are handed lemons, you probably should consider making lemonade. She's been handed a lot of lemons, or she just enjoys the idea of her lemonade recipe that her and her mom and her family have produced. We don't know. Is art imitating life, or is life imitating art? The reality is, this show, we're going to explore a form of lemonade making in the workplace. Today we talk mastering workplace politics, looking at corporate culture. How do you take your personal brand to the next level using the ideas that we're going to share with you today? You may have all the technical skills in the world, but are you cut out for the politics in the workplace? Many people have committed career suicide by not understanding that having the skills and technical ability is simply not enough. That's just the first dimension. The all-important second dimension is how well you master workplace politics. So today, we deal with and help, we inspire you to go look at your personal brand political game. That's right, your personal brand political game. And I am joined by a regular contributor. I like to call her a regular contributor. This is your first time this year, though, is it?
Yes, it's my first time this year.
Miss Carice Anderson, Harvard MBA Program Manager for McKinsey Leadership Program. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to see you again. And we have Kavesha Chetty. She is Business Manager at a large corporate with over 20 years experience. A huge welcome to both of you.
Thanks, Timothy.
Thanks so much.
Kavesha, this is your first time on Cliff Central.
It is, yeah.
I'm your first.
You are my first.
It feels good. It feels really good. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you guys making the time. I really want to focus on three key pillars for the next sort of 50 minutes or so. The three key pillars are going to be etiquette politics, social politics, and personal politics. And, Carice, McKinsey prides itself as sort of the intelligence management firm. You guys know more than the rest of us because of your focus on research. How much of your leadership program focuses on navigating the politics of doing business?
Oh, we talk about it consistently. I mean, the fellows get an hour each month with me. So we talk about navigating the space during that time. And then if there are kind of emergencies or situations that pop up, they definitely can reach out to me and talk to me. So we talk about it all the time.
I'm sure you've had sometimes a lot of these fellows are surprised at how much the politics play a role in their success.
Yeah, I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that people make when they come to McKinsey or people who are fresh out of college is you apply the same kind of keys of success to work that you do to school. Like, I'm just going to put my head down and then somebody's going to come along and tap me on the shoulder.
Sure.
And, sure. It doesn't work that way, and there's different measures of success. And different things that corporates are looking for that you don't have to worry about in school. If a teacher doesn't like you, it doesn't matter. If you do well on the test or the paper or the project, it doesn't matter.
Got it.
They can't deny you.
Absolutely.
But it's not that way at work.
Got it. Kavesha, you and your 20 years, by the way, 20 years, you must have started when you were like 3.
I don't really want to give my age away, but yeah.
Okay, cool.
I do have 20 years.
Okay, cool. So tell me about, in terms of the percentage of... What would you say in terms of how many people out of 10 have their career derailed because they can't understand workplace etiquette?
Gosh, Timothy, I'd say 8 out of 10.
Really?
Yeah. It's the little mistakes in your normal daily work. It's the big mistakes. Look, it ranges from the spilling of coffee and... getting someone else to clean it up for you, right down to just outright insubordination. So I think there's so many ranges between that. And people are making errors daily. They don't realize that they're being watched constantly by their colleagues, by employers. A vacancy would come through and it's something tiny that you may have done the day before. And it's going to be to your detriment. So I do see it very often. And it's why it's close to my heart as well.
So early in your career, can you think of one or two mistakes you made from an etiquette perspective?
Oh, yes. I can think of a few. But thankfully, they weren't very big. So I could overcome it and redeem myself, just so to speak. So
I'm going to come back to you in a moment because I want you. I'm going to give you a moment to think about your biggest mistake. Mm. Okay,
you're going to force it out of me.
Yeah,
aren't you?
Yeah. Okay. I want to know. Right. I want to know how in 20
you're
years.
You're looking for dirt. Aren't
I'm
you?
Looking
you're
for looking dirt. See that. So, Carice, you know, when it comes to your experience dealing with the fellows in this leadership program. What are some of the things that you see as like a key thing that is vital that you guys really try to drive home?
I think that we try to drive home, you know, you need to understand not only what you want from McKinsey, but what does McKinsey want from you? And what is McKinsey expecting to see? And what do they think is good performance versus excellent performance? So helping them kind of decode some of the feedback that they get and just, you know, because there's a lot of unwritten rules. I think sure. there. So yeah. helping them understand and figure out what those are. And I think the other thing for me is getting people to get mentors and sponsors to help them navigate the space and understand sure. how it works.
Got it. Well, if you're just tuning in, we are going to be talking today about workplace politics, mastering your personal brand political game. I know for myself that when I first came to South Africa, it's become obvious that the politics of what I do is vital. Even here at Cliff Central, you know, understanding that, you know, we are a numbers driven digital platform and the people who, you know, where there's no one listening, you know, you probably are going to find yourself on another channel. So you have to understand how important the numbers are in this particular space. And let's go back to you, Kavesha. I want people to feel you. I want people to understand that you are real. Mm-hmm. Out of these 20 years, you know, you are a human being who's made mistakes. take us back.
Really, my mistakes, I'd say, would have resulted from immaturity. So it's a little childish things that you would do in the workplace.
Okay.
And I think for me, I had to grow up. I had to grow up quickly because I was moving up the ranks and I needed to grow up. I needed to have people look up to me. So for me, I think it was just learning how to get past that childish behavior. And like Carice was saying earlier, really it's just making that transition from school and university to the workplace. And people get torn. They're conflicted when they enter the workplace. And I think my main challenges was really that kind of immaturity. And so I definitely made a few mistakes.
Okay.
I definitely called the CEO, "Hey, buddy," once or twice, not knowing who he was or
very informal.
Yeah, that type of thing. Okay. So I learned. Thankfully, it wasn't something that. That completely destroyed me.
Got it. Okay.
Can I share an example?
Sure.
My first job out of college, I had no idea what I was going to be doing. All I knew is they were paying $32,000 and they gave you free lunch and free benefits. I had no idea what I was going to be doing. So I get to the job and I absolutely hate it. And I walked around like I hated it. And so I think people started to look at my demeanor and translated that into the quality of my work. Like, wow. Oh, if she's unhappy, then her work must be bad as well. So then my supervisor pulled me into her office and said, you know, I'm going to put you on a PDP if you don't straighten up, you know. And little did I know at that time, there should have been more of a process before you just threatened to fire me.
Sure.
You know, but it was all about perception. I don't think the quality of my work was bad, but people kind of transferred my attitude to my actual work performance. And that was a lesson because it taught me you have to manage perceptions, which is not something you really have to do in university.
Let's piggyback on the global political game at the moment. If you look at President Zuma, you know, he said in Parliament, what's wrong with my laughing? You know, his laughing excessively made people think he wasn't taking the political game serious. And your serious face or your sort of angry face really sent strong signals.
Exactly.
And if you look at the global thing now, I mean, if you look at Donald Trump, you look at Mrs. Clinton, it's fascinating. I mean, I look at Brazil and Rousseff and what she's going through and how she's managing the press conferences. And people are looking and like dead in her face to see if she's going to slip up, if she's going to crack. Being able to put your game face on is critical. And especially in sort of the rainbow nation that we live in, if you are put off by somebody, and it's easy to get put off by someone you don't really understand. Maybe they speak a different way and you interpret how they speak as not being as thorough as you, etc. Being able to put your game face on is vital. Kavesha, in terms of looking at, you know, the technical and the soft skills. Technical skills would be physically doing the job. The soft skill is putting your game face on. Which do you think is most important?
I'm a huge fan of soft skills. Technical skills can be taught. I look for people who have emotional intelligence, who have social skills, who have soft skills, because really that's the game changer. In a corporate environment, technical skills can be taught, people can be trained, but if you have a passion for what you're doing, it will always come through. You will always be the best you can be, for me, soft skills.
So at what point do you think you mastered this political game?
Well, I don't think I'm a master, but I'm really I learn every day. You know, and when you're working with people, really, as much as you think you know everything, someone will surprise you.
You're telling me after 20 years, you're still trying to figure it out.
Well, we're figuring it out every day, I suppose. People will always find a way to surprise you.
This is Cliff Central. We're going to give you a hard time.
You're going to give me a hard time.
Yeah, definitely. You're not going to tell us what you really did wrong. You said you called the boss something. So I'm letting you by, okay?
But I wasn't briefed on this.
Yeah. I'm letting you scoot by. I'm going to come back to you in a minute. I'm giving you time to build up.
Look, I'm going to support her, though.
Support her.
I think,
Woman
you know,
power.
Depending on what environment you're in, the rules do change.
Okay.
Because, you know, she's saying she thinks that soft skills are the most important. And I'm just thinking about my environment. I think if you come straight out of university, people are looking for you to perform. You're the data person. You're the one managing the Excel spreadsheet. Mm. People want that. They want you to do that well. I think they're a little bit more forgiving on the softer skills early in your career. I think the more you advance, at least at McKinsey, I think then some of the softer skills become more important. But the thing, rules change, right?
Sure.
And the dynamics change depending on what environment you're in and what takes precedence in terms of, you know, performance.
Okay. So I really enjoy, Carice, how you got her back.
Yes.
This is, you know,
support.
Speaking.
We have planned this.
Yeah, yes. We got this. Yeah.
Speaking of gender dynamics, when it comes to being a woman, gender politics is a whole other beast.
Yeah.
I mean, it is incredible. When a woman speaks out, she's seen to be aggressive. When a man speaks out, he's seen to be assertive and strong. In fact, Celsius CEO got himself in a lot of hot water on this very station. It was actually in the same studio. Mm. Kavesha, where you're seated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. This is where it all went down.
Hot seat.
He spoke out about, he says that, you know, women can have, like, I think a bitch switch. Now, this is very, very important that we deal with this. We tackle this as part of the political conversation, because the more you rise and grow, there are people who think ridiculously like this. They have these biases. They have these issues and often blind spots. They don't even realize that they think a particular way about women. How do you manage that? Carice, how do you manage this whole idea that I'm going to be assertive and I'm going to put my stamp on this moment without people sort of firing back at you and calling you names and so forth?
So I think the biggest thing for me is I don't think women should try to be something that they're not. Like, okay, if you're not assertive and opinionated, don't try to fake that, because people sense that in authenticity. Mm-hmm. You know, but if you are someone that wants to speak up and have an opinion, you should speak up and have an opinion.
Got it.
And I don't think you should, you know, let these labels, you know, keep you from being who you truly are. I think the workplace should be about being authentic.
Let's go back just quickly, Carice. Mm. You came to South Africa when?
Almost 5 years ago.
And have you had issues with people? You know, Americans are known for being loud, arrogant, obnoxious, and so forth.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you had that filter applied to you?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely have, you know, heard people talk about, well, this is an American culture. This is very Western. And I guess I push back on that because I don't think every company in America is the same. America's over 300 million people. So, you know, you've got this huge country with different kind of personalities and cultures. And so that's why I don't think you can kind of apply this one. You can't paint all of America with this broad brush. Do sure. I think Americans are proud? Absolutely. Do we speak up and complain more than, you know, the average South African? Absolutely.
So this obnoxious label by sort of speaking your mind and saying that the situation we're dealing with right now is ridiculous. Mm. Whereas most people would say, I'm a little uncomfortable with this situation. Yeah. You may call it out for what it is.
Yeah, definitely.
When it happens that within the context, I know your situation is different because you guys work in a sort of a global community.
Right.
But I'm sure there have been moments when you are painted the Western loud person. Mm. How do you navigate that to make sure you gain favor? That you regain favor?
I mean, what I try to do is to make sure if I'm going to be loud or opinionated, that I'm coming with a perspective that's valid.
So you know when you're loud.
Yeah, exactly. I embrace my loudness. And some of that might be a function of age, too. The older I've gotten, the less I've, quote unquote, been so worried about what other people think about me all the time, especially if I feel that what I'm saying is you know, something that I need to communicate and needs to be voiced.
On WeChat, Kodwa says, most women will openly admit that they have a bitch switch. They may call it something else, but fundamentally, it is what it is. Do you agree with this or no?
I guess I don't necessarily like that label, right? I mean, there are times that situations are going to evoke certain emotions, but it's not like, you know, I have some button on my back that I turn turn this knob, you know? It's just that's what the situation is bringing out in me. Okay. You know, so I don't think it's
let's come up with a label quickly. What would you call it?
Yeah, my grown woman on. How about that?
Grown woman.
I'm a grown woman and you're not gonna come for me like that. Now I gotta get serious with you.
What I think is valuable about this part of the gender conversation is that if you sort of up the frequency of your passion and your intensity and you decide to apply that as a woman, let's call it your frequency button, right? Your frequency just goes up a notch. Kavesh, have you been in a moment where you felt like in that immature phase? Now, you know, you said that there were a couple of times. Was there a moment where you kind of lost it and you reflect back on it? You went that I needed to sort of control my emotions?
Yes. Look, there are still moments that you kind of lose it. I think it's important, like you asked earlier, we do have a bitch switch, but I think men do too.
That's a good point.
I am thinking of one person in particular, but his switch, I think, does not click properly. So it goes very easily into the mode. But and he's in the office next to me. So really, I go through it very often. It is important to keep that control. It is important to take a step back. I think we all have that capability, men included. I really don't go into the office with any kind of expecting to kill gender biasness or look, we all walk into the office with our own biases. Be it gender, you know, the color of your skin, how thin you are, how tall you are, and people have their own biases when they walk into my office to talk to me. So if I have to try and kill every one of them, I just don't go in trying to be a woman making it in a world. I just try to make it. And I think that's, for me, my perspective.
Okay. And you now, is there anything you go through? Do you meditate? Is there something you do to exercise control? At least I know I have one of those switches. Mm-hmm. And there are times when I can, you know, especially in the face of nonsense. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't deal well with nonsense. And someone continues to pursue the path of nonsense. and they are deliberate. That switch can happen. I've learned that to extend the boundaries of that switch. Is there anything you go through sort of personally? Is there any sort of personal exercise? You get to the office and you see this person in the next door. Do you walk outside and just appreciate the sun, or what do you do?
Well, look, exercise helps. I've got to say, to keep the positivity up. I am a dancer. I think you know that.
Yes.
So that really keeps the positivity up after a bad day. For me, my switch really happens on the road.
Oh,
I have
really?
To say, it's not so much in the office. Then there's nowhere to go.
You're stuck on the road.
You're stuck on the road. So you turn up the music. So I think people try to meditate. They try to teach me how to. I've attempted it. I've attempted affirmations and meditation to be calmer. And it does work.
Okay.
It does cool. work. Obviously, I need to give it more of a shot.
Yeah.
For it to really work.
Okay, cool. I know that sometimes I drive my Vespa. Like if I know I'm going to be running late, I'll leave the car and I'll take my bike. And I see you guys on the road, stressed out. I pass you and I look down and I'm like, wow. I've been thinking about getting this sort of like, they've got these glasses you can take photos.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to document you guys because you guys are really stressed out on the road.
Oh, very much so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And about you, Carice.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, I feel sorry for you guys.
Yeah, the street that I work on, they've been doing construction for the last, I don't know, year.
Since you got here.
And it's like, I want to kill myself. But I want to kill other people, and then I want to kill myself.
Okay. Let's go back.
Construction company.
Let's go back to the whole definition of etiquette. Etiquette is defined as the customary code, and this is very important. And again, if you're tuning in now, the ability to master etiquette, master corporate culture dynamics is going to help you succeed. So follow this closely. The customary code of polite behavior in society among members of a particular professional group. So being polite. Some people struggle with just being polite. They really do focus on the fact that the job is not being done. So do the job. You're being paid. And I've seen so many leaders really struggle with the idea that they can't let go of the meritocracy model that if you're not doing the job, why am I being nice to you? Why am I being polite in the face of incompetency? What do you inspire people to do, Carice, when it comes to, you know, when they're in the middle of a storm and someone is physically a mess? Let's just call it what it is. Yeah. Their etiquette, their ability to understand corporate culture, they are being, how do you handle it? How do you keep up sort of the mask? Or should you just call it out?
I mean, I think it's like Kavesha said. I think you have to encourage people to take a step back and think about the situation from a different perspective. Because I think sometimes we can come into situations with a very victim type of mindset. You know, these people are doing this to me. They don't like me. They're judging me more harshly than the next person. And I think I just try to get people to take a step back and say, okay, look at this from a different set of eyes. Look at this from the person that you're working with or working for, or for the client as well. And I think because ours is a relationship business at the end of the day, I think I try to encourage people, you know, you've got to find a way to make this work.
Okay.
Whether it's with the person you report to or the client, you know, because we have to deliver at the end of the day, and we're very much about client impact.
You have to
find a way. And understanding what your triggers are, what other people might be going through. You know, a lot of times as consultants, we show up and this is our main project. But this client, this is a side thing that they're doing.
Sure.
So they've got other responsibilities. So you have to kind of keep that in mind too, that they may not be able to devote the same amount of time to it that you are.
We're going to take a break in a moment, but I want to just quickly talk about the politics of style. When it comes to dress, etiquette, etc. Before we take a quick break, I want to talk about at what point in your guys' career did you realize that this thing is important, that the way I dress, the way I package and position myself is critical, and it can actually sabotage my career if I don't understand how to package myself.
Go first.
You go.
These guys are so polite with each other. I love it.
It's etiquette. I think somewhere in my late 20s, I can't remember now exactly, but I think it was some big meeting that I had to attend. And
tell us, what did you wear? Wear to this meeting?
I can't even remember, but I remember not having anything to wear. So I think I borrowed something from someone,
okay,
and eventually got there, and it was ill-fitting, of course, because it wasn't for me. So that was really my first lesson in dressing, you know, just make sure it fits.
Okay.
Well-fitted garment.
I'm big on that. Really, that's very important.
Yes.
Please, you?
Yeah. I think for me, it was just yesterday. No, I'm kidding. I mean, I went to a personal branding course, I don't know, maybe 4 years ago, and the facilitator was just talking about how everything that you do is forming your brand. How you dress, the quality and timeliness and accuracy of your work, what you say. You know, so for me, it just, it was like, oh,
this is a big deal, and this is shaping how I want people to see me and think of me. So I think that's when I really started taking it. I mean, my first job out of college, we would like wear a sweatshirt when we would get cold, and I thought, sure, that's so unprofessional.
Got it.
You know, and now that I dress a certain way, it makes me feel more grown up, makes me feel more professional, and I think that just helps in terms of perception and how I even feel in the job.
When we come back, we're going to talk about dealing with people, some of the social politics and personal politics. And you guys have your top tips you're going to share with us. We look forward to that. We'll be right back.
Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
Girl, I loved you. Oh, love. They don't love you like I love you. Oh, don't love you like I love you.
I hop up the bed and get my swag on. I look in the mirror and say, what's up? What's up? I hop up the bed and get my swag on. I look in the mirror and say, what's up?
Hold up. What's up? Guys, what's up? I encourage you to go and check out Beyonce's Lemonade. First of all, if you go and watch the video and sort of the movie that she put out, she's an artistic genius. So beyond what could or could not be happening behind the scenes, she has built her career and she's been able to sort of navigate things. Interestingly, today we're talking building your sort of personal brand inside of the internal brand of an organization, learning corporate culture and mastering the dynamic. She's been able to master the entertainment dynamic in an extraordinary way. And if you look at how she sort of kept her personal life personal for so many years, I think what intrigues everyone, whether you care about pop culture or not, is the fact that she's decided to take on a different mask. She code shifted, and now she's put on a new mask that's very sort of bold, very sort of vocal about social injustices and so forth. And it's really encouraging to see her sort of step out and speak out. I mean, I look at her previous album, Flawless. She had one of my favorite people, Chimamanda Adichie, in the album talking about gender dynamics and why young girls are taught certain things and young boys are taught other things about how they should go about pursuing their success and so forth. So Beyonce is a wonderful example of someone who has code shifted. She put on a different mask and she's playing the political game differently, and she's losing fans and she's gaining new ones. And I think part of the conversation has to be that you need to know where your convictions are and where you're willing to compromise and where you're not willing to compromise and what the potential consequences are. And I know for myself that I'm very focused on diversity and the value of operating in a diverse space. But sometimes, no matter how much I appreciate it and value it, not everyone does. And often I find myself in situations where people are very patronizing and condescending, and they like to joke about certain things that I'm uncomfortable with. And in those moments, you've got to be able to keep it together and perform and be able to do it in a way that you don't emotionally make a decision that's going to cause you or jeopardize your long-term career ambitions. I mean, there have been times when I've been in the office with a long-term partner and I really wanted to go off. I could feel that I was being underappreciated. I was not being valued for my history and so forth. And in those moments, you know, it does require you to be. In fact, I'm dealing with a situation right now where I have a colleague that I can tell does not really appreciate my thought leadership work. Let's be very, very real. So not everybody cares about this idea of personal identity, personal narratives, and personal branding and branding. Some people think branding is complete nonsense. They think it's superficial. It's just very sort of like not necessary. So when I'm in an environment like that, what I typically do is I really sort of buckle down and give a bit more of the sort of the science behind it. And as I was given the science, I could see that, you know, she was looking at me like, there's no science in this stuff. And at that moment, my switch wanted to go off. The question was, and what do I do? What was causing her to undervalue me? What was causing her to not appreciate me for who I am? And when I start to answer those questions, then I could really focus and shift the conversation back onto her. I want to bring back in my guest today. I've got Carice Anderson. She is the program manager for McKinsey's leadership program. And I've got Kavesha Chetty, who has over 20 years experience in the corporate space and the leading corporate environment. When you guys are in those situations where you feel completely undervalued and underappreciated, my technique is I try to figure out what is it that they are, why is it they're reacting this way, and what is it do they actually appreciate, and how do I link what I care about to what they care about? Do you have any sort of technique you use, Carice?
No, I think what you just said pretty much sums it up. I think the only thing I might add is sometimes what's happened before I came onto the scene.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, yes. When I took a job at the school district in the States, my boss was very just like hesitant to take on any new ideas that I had. And, you know, I'm this kind of fresh upstart, you know, professional. I'm ready to make a change. And he was very resistant. And it didn't dawn on me until much later. I think he felt threatened by me. I think he thought this girl with this MBA and this corporate experience is coming to take my job. And I think that's the thing that we often don't think about, is what's happened before we showed up. What kind of insecurities or issues do people have? What's the politics? What's,
sure.
What happened before you even landed on the scene?
Got it. Got it. Kavesha, you are also studying now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming most of the people in your class are sort of, because it's an advanced degree, do you guys discuss some of these issues in class when you're discussing case studies and so forth?
Yeah, we do. It does come up. And obviously everyone just has their own ways of dealing with this. And
sure.
It really just comes from your own character and your own personality. I tend to be vocal with people like that. I know I shouldn't. I find myself trying to prove myself, becoming vocal, you know, like you said, exactly. You're trying to get to the science behind it and trying to prove it and all of that. But really walking away from those, I always then go back to Carice's point, where I take it from whence it comes.
Sure.
Naysayers, I've had them my whole life, and I've really used that as my inspiration. So at the time, yes, I don't think I may handle it perfectly, but leaving it and walking away, I do take the lesson from it.
Yeah,
and basically awesome. Go out there to prove them wrong.
Sure. You guys are going to be sharing with us your top tips coming up in a moment, but I want to talk about the outside of the workplace issues that really impact the internal brand and how people perceive you. If you don't go to the braai, or if you don't go to the rugby match or the soccer match, people see you as you're not very inclusive. You are, you know, you're an outsider. If you don't learn to play golf amongst the ex-co team, then you can be perceived as a person who is not trying to be part of the team, and you're not a team player. Have you guys found yourself, particularly you, Carice, coming into South Africa, have you been in situations where you have resisted going to something because maybe you didn't understand it, or any moments like that?
Yeah, I don't think necessarily that. I think, but for me, I know myself, and even though I'm a very extroverted type person, I do need time to recharge. So on the weekends, you know, I'm at home on the couch just recharging, where I could be out socializing with people. But the way that I try to approach that is, you know, when I'm there during the week, I'm fully on. I'm fully engaged. I'm laughing. I'm joking. I've brought my full self to the workspace. So I think that helps people be okay with the fact that I may not, you know, go to the party after work or socialize with them on the weekends.
So you amp it up during
exactly.
engagement. You're like, she's so involved. Exactly. Yeah. We don't even miss her.
Exactly.
Sneaky. Hear her voice.
We've had enough of her this week, you know? But I think you have to find ways to build those relationships with people, and try to find a way that aligns with your own personal values and character. And
I like that. You're like still in their head. Exactly. They're playing golf.
Like, she's still here. She's still here.
Got it. And you, Kavesha, do you do the social stuff well? Do you enjoy this sort of social stuff?
To an extent, yeah. Look, I have to in many instances. But I think people are shifting away from a place where, you know, the thinking is really that you all have to be here. You have to be here till the end, and those kinds of things. If there's a braai or if there's a function, we go out. People know and understand. She's the quiet one. She's the loud one. She's the party animal. So people kind of know that within the office, and I don't think anyone really expects the quiet one to be there till the end and that type of thing. And I think in my environment, certainly, people are a lot more understanding about that type of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got this cardinal rule that I try to show up, and maybe it's sort of the nature of my work. Being in around media, people kind of want me to come and share my thoughts or whatever. And I've noticed that if I show up for like 5-10 minutes, people are fine.
Yeah.
As long as you show up sometime.
Yeah.
I think that's the key for, especially a young professional. If you're out there and you don't really enjoy this, or you're more introverted, then, figure out ways to manage the expectations. Let people know that you plan to come, but you won't be there long, or you were not going to come this time, but you are going to attempt to come next time. Yeah. And you're interested in hearing about it when they get back to the office. Just engage. Don't disengage entirely. And I think that is critical. I want to talk about personal politics, the vast universe in your own mind. Part of you is feeling like, maybe I should stay the course. The other part is, let me jump ship. The other part is, maybe there's something wrong with me. Why am I not growing? All of the voices in your head create this political dynamic at times. I mean, there's a great quote, I think is by Nietzsche, that talks about we have many eyes in us. And at any given point, we're choosing an eye. And if you think about the various eyes inside of you, Carice, let's start with you. You've got all these different, I wouldn't say personalities, but you've got these positions in your mind that you can choose from. And do you find them colliding at times? And if they do collide, how do you start to choose and navigate that space?
So I think for me, I am a person who is, based off StrengthsFinder. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but you get your top five strengths, and my strengths are kind of all across the spectrum. Like I want to think about things, but I also want to execute, but I also want to care about people and be mindful of their feelings. And so I'm constantly trying to maintain balance between all these different areas. And I think for me, I do try to take a step back and say, okay, what am I really trying to accomplish here? What's most important? Who do I need to consider kind of in the making of this decision and the execution of it? Because I can get very focused on execution. Like, let's just get it done. But then I do have to remind myself there's a people dynamic that you have to be mindful of too.
Sure.
So I'm constantly wrestling with myself.
Now, when it comes to, taking care of yourself or sacrificing yourself or literally doing it for the team, how do you decide?
Yeah.
In those moments.
So I think even kind of going back to your other question about social events, I'll go to the social event, but maybe I only stay till 8 o'clock instead of staying till midnight, because I know that I have to recharge myself so that I can show up the next day or on Monday, 100%.
Knowing your limits.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is something that I've just had to learn and be okay with.
Got it. And Kavesha, when it comes to your own sort of mindset and being able to sort of like regulate what's happening in your own mind, do you have some thoughts on some of the better ways to approach it?
Yeah. Look, every one of us gets conflicted every now and then. And there are days when I wake up conflicted about what's priority. Like you said, you're conflicted in your own mind.
Should I go to Cliff Central?
Should I go to Cliff Central? Yeah. So really it's just concentrating on the issue at hand. Is really important. And I think where people fall victim to that conflict that goes on within you is really just having too much going on inside of you at once. So if I'm focused on a meeting, I'm giving 100% of myself to that meeting, even though I know there's further things on in this day that's going to be just as stressful. If I go for a dance competition, I focus only on that. When I leave there, I focus only on work. I study as well. So I had to learn through all these different facets of mine to really just concentrate on one thing at a time. And I think that's really, really the origin of people's conflict, is just concentrating on too many things at once.
And Carice, when it comes to dealing with partners and relationships, your personal politics, the home politics is a really big thing. When it comes to dealing with what your partner wants out of your career, what your partner wants and what your partner deems excessive and so forth, how do you navigate those things, if you don't mind sharing?
So you mean in terms of like with my husband, for example? Yes. So the good thing is Fungi, that's his name, by the way. Shout out to Fungi. If you're listening. Is that we both work really hard and we both value our careers a lot. I mean, even when I told him yesterday, I said, Timothy called me or he texts me and wants me to be on the radio tomorrow. He's like, you're going, right? I was like, going, you know. I mean, I think we're just on the same wavelength. So it makes it so much easier, you know, to be able to know that he's cool with it and he's got his own thing going on.
Do you have friends or colleagues or people who have are in relationships where they're not really on the same page?
Oh, yeah. No, I had a manager when I was at Anderson. It was the funniest thing. His wife was always stressing him out about coming home. And I remember one time we walked in his office and we said something. And he's like, shh, I'm supposed to be in the car. And it's just, I feel badly for people because it's very stressful. You know, you're at work and you feel like you're disappointing the people at home. When you're at home, you feel like you're disappointing the people at work. So just not to have that tension for me, I feel really grateful
about
that.
And it's about to get worse with Lemonade.
Yeah.
Because now every woman is paranoid. Like, yeah. I've seen the memes. Have you guys seen the memes with Beyonce looking over at Jay-Z's phone?
When I saw it. This is like in a basketball game.
Yeah, the basketball game. Yeah, and then now people are sort of like putting Lemonade on top of those photos.
It's hilarious. It's true.
You know, I think these are real issues. And, you know, in terms of just sort of recapping before you guys give us your top tips, okay? You know, we started talking about etiquette politics and we went into social politics and now we're talking personal politics. And I think that, you know, having sort of a well-rounded approach to your sort of soft skills is really, really important. And I know for me that, I like what you said, Kavesh, at the very beginning, we're all still growing. I was teasing you, giving you a hard time, but you never really perfect this thing.
Yeah, because definitely.
New people come into an environment, so you've got to adjust, you got to shift and so forth. Codes change. And you know,
you change environments. Yeah.
You change. Mm. Personally,
yeah, exactly.
You evolve, you know?
Yeah.
And so forth. Like now, you're gonna graduate. You may pursue another degree. And as we evolve and we grow, how people perceive us changes. And I think it's really, really important. So I'm excited about these tips you guys are about to share. And I know you guys have become really good friends and you want to be very polite to each other. Who wants to go first? I'm going to give you guys the opportunity to figure that out. Who wants
I'll
to go
first? I'll go first.
Okay, awesome.
So my three are know yourself, know what your strengths are, right? Because you'll never be distinctive at your weaknesses. Know what your strengths are.
Wait.
Can I just say she stole mine?
She stole yours. Oh my goodness. I thought you guys were getting along. Okay, wait. Yeah. So is there a strengthsfinder.com type of thing people can go?
Yeah, I think you can. If you Google StrengthsFinder, and I know somebody who can also do it for you. His name is Simon Hurry. He's out of Cape Town. I absolutely love him. Okay. But knowing what your strengths are, I think and it gives you a lot of confidence to be able to walk into your strengths and figuring out ways to showcase what those are. Know what your triggers are, because that is helpful for me to know when somebody's being condescending, that's a trigger for me. So I know that now. So if I get into that situation, I'm not triggered as easily as I was maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Should you write these down? Should you sort of create a diary of
what
your triggers are?
Definitely. And sometimes I think before you go into a, you know, maybe a high stakes meeting, you say to yourself, what are some of the things that could potentially trigger me?
I see.
You know, if somebody doesn't agree with what I'm saying or they poo-poo on my, you know, research or whatever, okay, that could be a trigger for me.
Got it.
I think knowing what your boundaries are, what's important to you. So that's all around knowing yourself. I think study the company and get people around you that can help you navigate that space and help you understand it. Because I think a lot of times young people especially are just thinking about, what am I getting out of this? I want you to train me, develop me, give me great opportunities. But it's like, what does this company want out of you? What do they expect? What does great performance look like?
That's a great point. If I think about my relationship with Cliff Central, like what is it that the leading team, what do they want from the presenters? What do they want? Are they looking for innovation? And if I think about it, one of the things I think that's a priority is self-drive and innovation. Mm. Like this is a digital platform. It's a forward-thinking platform. So if I'm approaching it like a traditional radio show, I'm probably not going to have a good relationship with them. And politically, I'm going to be smothered.
Yeah.
Great advice.
So I think just observing, trying to understand how things work, language in the space, you know, how people communicate, what's acceptable, not acceptable, all of those things. Who are the decision makers, the influencers, the high performers, figure out who those people are. And then the third one is very simple. Just be excellent. Like perform, work your butt off, you know, because I think when people see that you're invested in the company and giving 110%, they'll want to give back to you.
Yeah.
And invest in your development and your growth.
Yeah, I just want to come back to Clifton. I mean, it's one of the things I enjoy about our team. Everybody's excellent. I mean, even if people have, you know, been smoking a little something, they still figure out a way to deliver. Anyway, Kavesha, you're top. Thank you, Karis, by the way.
On that note, well, just to echo what Karis says, I think for me, own your talents. Very often I see people just becoming a clone of someone else in the workplace, maybe because that person has climbed the corporate ladder faster. I see people actually starting to talk like someone else. It's really annoying. So
it's like when people,
own yourself.
Yeah, you know when people go to the States and they come back with an American accent?
Yeah, that.
And they make it really hard for us real Americans because people think we're faking it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Own your talents.
Own those talents. Find ways to showcase it. Like Harish says, do what it takes. You know, a few years back, many years back, actually, I invited a large executive to speak at one of my meetings, and it was short notice, and she couldn't make it. So she joked with me, "Look, I'll do the speech if you write it for me." And I knew she declined it. I knew she was going to be out of town, but I wrote her a speech. It's really what a person does when they can work for free, and that's how you find your passion.
Oh, okay.
How productive are you when nobody's watching? How productive are you when you have to work for free? And I did her the speech. I wrote the speech, and I wrote a fantastic speech, and that's because I wanted to showcase my writing. And there were many incidents after that, but, you know, very quickly I became renowned for good business writing skills.
Sure.
But I had to take that opportunity.
Got it.
It wasn't within the confines of my job description.
Got it.
So,
you stepped in, made it happen.
I stepped in, I made it happen, yeah. I think from a leadership perspective and management, don't follow a typical mold of what a perfect position should be.
Okay.
Too often I see people ticking boxes. He knows the system, she knows this, that type of thing. People place too much trust on CVs. I've got to say that, you know, CVs for me just live in the same place with unicorns and Easter bunnies and that type of thing. So really don't place too much trust on CVs, and rather just try and find that X factor and find talent. It's everywhere. You don't have to be going through paperwork.
Got it. Awesome. So, guys, thank you so much. If people want to contact you guys and want to connect, you guys are on social media. They can. Are you on LinkedIn, Karis?
I am, under my real name, not Pretty Brown Sugar or. It's Karis Anderson.
Okay.
On LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, everywhere.
Okay. Carice.
Yep.
Anderson.
Yeah.
Okay. And Kavesha, you on which platform?
I am on LinkedIn, and I do recently have a blog, so you can follow me on there.
And your blog is?
Kavesha.wordpress.com.
Kavesha.wordpress.com, and you blog about corporate culture, and people can follow you there.
Yep.
Awesome. Guys, thank you so much. Rianette Lebowitz with the Cyber Health Feature will be back next week. You'll be able to check her out. She's out and about at the moment with the CEO Sleep-In launch. We are really grateful for you tuning in. Thank you for engaging Unbranded, and we'll be back next week.
Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.